This is the Monday, January 24th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with a variety of action for tonight. So settle in and we'll set you up in 10 minutes, maybe a little bit more, with everything you need to know heading into the betting day.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. It is Monday, and it is the day after what quite possibly could be the wildest playoff day in NFL history. Tyler Fulgham and Aaron Dolan with you this morning. We thought the Rams-Buccaneers finish was kind of nuts, and then, holy cow, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes go absolutely nuclear in the final few minutes of that game in KC. Rams advance. Chiefs advance, both in thrilling fashion. We now have the final four set in the NFL, Aaron. So we don't need to make any picks here, but just want to get some initial thoughts on the two games we'll see on Sunday, January 30th. First, in Arrowhead, Kansas City, Bengals come to town as a 7-point road dog, a total of 54.5. We know these two teams matched up earlier this year. Mm-hmm. That was in Cincinnati, and the Bengals got that victory. 7 seems like a lot of points, but it is Patrick Mahomes at home. Just don't know what to do with this at this moment. Your initial thoughts on what you expect to see?
Yeah, well, first off, just kicking it back to this weekend. That Chiefs-Bills game was the best game I think I've ever watched, aside from the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. That was so good. But I'm so frustrated with the overtime rules. The fact that Josh Allen didn't even get the chance to go down the field, I thought it was the most ridiculous thing of all time to bring that, you know, just to a coin flip. Is just got to be so hard for the Bills to swallow. But in terms of looking at these, you know, games that are coming up this weekend, excited for those, both of them on Sunday. And we're seeing earlier times for these games, which I so appreciate on the East Coast, because usually we have that Sunday night football game around 8 o'clock. This time it's at 6:42 p.m. Eastern. But looking at the Bengals, I think that total is very high, 54.5. That's the same as the Bills Chiefs total last week. But these teams did combine for 65 points last time they met, and those Bengals came back and were able to beat them. We know the Chiefs defense is just not great. They are able to put up, teams are able to put up a lot of points on them. In terms of looking at the spread, I hate the 7. That could potentially be a push. I'm not looking to play that. I am surprised it's that long, because I do feel like we keep counting out the Bengals every single week, but then they surprise us. So I'm like, at what point do I decide to kind of jump on the Bengals bandwagon almost? I'd love to see the Bengals upset the Chiefs, just given everything that they've, you know, accomplished this season. We saw the Bengals beat them already. But in terms of lines, I know that Adam Pullen, assistant director trading at Caesars, had talked about this before in an article, that teams that have played each other before, that's not really factored into the line. It's all based on modules that are current modules. So, and analytics. So that's something also to keep in mind. But yeah, not going to bet that spread, and not too surprised the total is that high, but also wasn't expecting these lines.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think this is why this is hard. The Bengals deserve more respect than a touchdown for what they've done. They went on the road against the number one seed in the AFC, won that game. They beat this team earlier in the year, albeit at home. 7 just seems like way too much for a team that is proven worthy of being in the AFC championship game. However, on the other side, there is this unstoppable force that is Patrick Mahomes, and what he does, especially in the playoffs, especially at home. Like, how uncomfortable would it be to back the Bengals +7 and watch Patrick Mahomes every time he has the damn football? I would not feel comfortable holding that ticket. So if it gets to 7.5, that changes things a lot, obviously takes that push out and you're past that key number. I do think the total at 54.5 obviously is high, but I mean, the Chiefs have shown, unless it's like Ben Roethlisberger or Teddy Bridgewater or, you know, some other god-awful quarterback on the other side, they're usually in high-scoring shootouts. We saw what happened, of course, against Buffalo Bills. Go back during their, like, final 10 games of the regular season, where they were limiting every opponent to, like, 10 points or less. The two quarterbacks that put up, you know, high 20, 30 point efforts against them were Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. If you have a quarterback that is that good, maybe not be Patrick Mahomes, but is 90, 95% of what Patrick Mahomes is, these are usually shootouts with the Chiefs. So I feel like attacking the total going over
there. I feel like
the
Chiefs have to go into a shootout because their defense just hasn't been that great. And in ways, like, it's almost like Patrick Mahomes has to put up that many points in order to win.
Yeah, and he usually does. But it feels and he usually does. But it just feels like 7 is a little disrespectful to the Bengals. But my gosh, I would not want to hold any ticket other right now than a Kansas City Chiefs ticket because of the way Mahomes is playing, just in complete God mode. On the other side in the NFC, the Rams host the 49ers. They'll be the third time they've matched up the season. Everyone knows the Niners won both matchups this year and have a current 6-game win streak against Sean McVay and the LA Rams. The Niners are a 3.5-point road dog. And I use air quotes, which you can't see here on our podcast, with road dog, because we know the last time the Niners played at SoFi Stadium, it was almost a home game for them instead of the Rams. Their fans traveled significantly to SoFi. And I don't expect that to be any different for this NFC title game. Total of 46.5, which is, you know, a touchdown and an extra in a 2-point conversion less than the other game. I like the Niners plus 3.5. There's a key number there. I don't think it's going to be a true home environment for the Rams. The Niners, obviously, even if Jimmy Garoppolo is their quarterback, all they do is play close, low-scoring, tightly contested games. And right now, all they're doing is winning those games. So it seems like the value is on the Niners at 3.5. And unlike the other game, I think the total here is one where I'm looking either under or pass, given the way that these two teams will want to interact, the Niners wanting to control the clock and keep Matt Stafford off the field and play a low-scoring game. And look at the way both of these defenses are playing. Not just the Rams defense with Von Miller and Aaron Donald pressuring quarterbacks, but the Niners defense has been awesome here down the stretch. Nick Bosa and those guys were all up in Aaron Rodgers' face on the road. So I do think it's going to be kind of which team dominates and wins the line of scrimmage is the team that wins this game. Even though 46.5 is low for two offenses that can score the way that these two can, we got to remember that both these defenses are in the NFC Championship game for a reason as well.
Yep. Yeah. Initially off the bat, I kind of like the under 46.5. I mean, the 49ers are just going to hand the ball off the entire time. Take a look at Jimmy G's passing yards. Make sure you take the under on that, because I did that last week and that worked out well for me. But an interesting thing, and I feel like some people had missed this, the Rams changed their ticket policy. So through Ticketmaster, the Rams informed ticket seekers that public sales for the NFC Championship game will be restricted to residents of the greater Los Angeles region. I saw this surface on Twitter, and this morning I looked it up. So they're actually going to geographically try to get more people that are Rams fans, which is absolutely ridiculous. Come on. I mean, how are you going to figure that out? Like, what if you were in an area and you're actually a Rams fan and they think you're, you know, from San Fran? I just think that's absurd. But regardless, it's 49ers at 3.5. I mean, it makes sense. I wouldn't be surprised if that moved down a little bit. The Rams, the fact that Tom Brady almost came back in that game scares me a lot. Yes, they jumped out to that quick start, but a little concerned there in terms of that.
Yeah, the Rams definitely tried to give that away with 4 fumbles. And don't forget, just 2 weeks ago, the Rams had a 17-point lead on this Niners team at home. And the Niners, of course, came back and won that game. So the Rams have kind of struggled having, you know, early success in ball games recently. Again, that's why I think the Niners side, especially at this price, is a good value. I will say this about that ticket policy at SoFi. There's definitely been a push from San Francisco 49ers fans to pay top dollar. I think they'll be willing to have those LA fans buy those tickets at, you know, $600-$800 a pop. And then those LA fans may be able to make a grand or two on those tickets, because I think the money from San Fran will come down and flood the market for those tickets. So it'll be interesting to see if the home field advantage is true for the Rams, or if there's a lot of red in that stadium. I think there'll be just as much 49ers fans in there as we saw just a couple weeks ago. All right, that'll do it for our initial look at the NFL championship weekend. Let's get to, though, a little short 4-game NBA slate before we get out of here. Anything that you like when it comes to side total or player props in tonight's 4-game NBA slate, Aaron?
Yeah, NBA slate really sucks tonight. But Cleveland minus 2.5 in the first quarter. They're 31-14-2 ATS in the first quarter. The best team in the league in terms of covering that first quarter spread. The Knicks team, it's on a back-to-back, as you know. They just beat the Clippers last night at home. They are traveling. They only averaged 25 points in the first quarter on a back-to-back. And then you have a Cleveland team that's averaging 29 points in that first quarter. And, you know, Cleveland ranks second in the league in points allowed per game and third in defensive rating. So I do like that play. Another one is JaVale McGee over 20.5 points and rebounds. It did just move up to 21.5. And I understand this number is pretty high, but Ayton is doubtful after missing his third straight game with a right ankle sprain. Jay Crowder, Cameron Payne, they're out. And the Jazz are going to be without Rudy Gobert most likely. So I think that he might be able to get some points and rebounds for the team. He was able to hit over this number last game against the Pacers. So those are the two plays I like for tonight.
Yeah, two plays. I have one is similar to your Cavs play, the 3 points in the first half. I also think the Knicks team total under 97.5 is, even though it's low, I would look at that. The Cavs win with defense. They cover one of the best cover teams in the NBA. And, of course, their defense combined with the Knicks kind of stop-and-go offense and their methodical pace drives me to the under there. This one is kind of like a hold your nose and grin and bear it. But the Thunder, this line looked very fishy to me. The Thunder are only 2-point home dogs against the Chicago Bulls. And I was like, oh, why is this? Well, I looked and the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think, have the second best ATS record in the NBA. They don't win a lot of games, but they cover a lot of games. And the Bulls right now, they have been struggling since Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine, especially, have been out of the lineup. DeMar DeRozan and Nikola Vucevic haven't quite been able to carry the load with those two guys out. And LaVine, especially, I think, has been a massive, massive loss. Another guy who can create his own shot and has been wildly efficient this season offensively. The Bulls have struggled. I think they've lost like four of their last five or five of their last six, something crazy like that. So they're on the road in OKC. And even though it's really, really short, I was like, no way the Bulls would only have to lay two against this Thunder team. That's why I'm gonna back the Thunder here. They're at home. They are getting a Bulls team that's struggling, and the line is just so fishy. It's like, what does the market know here? But I'll trust the Thunder and their ATS record all season long. You've had to kind of give Oklahoma City too many points based on their ability to cover against the spread. Right now this season, just overall, the Oklahoma City Thunder have the second best cover percentage in the NBA at 29-16-1. That's just a percentage point and a half behind Cleveland. Cleveland's the best ATS team. Oklahoma City is number two at 29-16-1. So the market has been wrong on them all season long. I'll try and lean into that against a team that is clearly superior, but is down a few key players right now in Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball. Alex Caruso, of course, out as well as Chicago Bulls fans are really ticked at Grayson Allen for causing that injury. So light NBA slate. That's how Aaron and I are attacking it. We do have a Monday edition of Daily Wager today. You, myself, and Joe Fortenbaugh will be there for Daily Wager, our full hour at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. We got to break down what happened on Sunday and Saturday and Sunday and look ahead to the weekend upcoming. We'll have more in the NBA as well and maybe dabble in the NHL and some college ranks, try and get some best bets that are winners and start the weekend off right. But again, a Monday Daily Wager can be seen today at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, normal time on ESPN2. That'll do it for the Daily Wager podcast on this Monday. A little bit more than 10 minutes, the bets you need, as promised, from Tyler and Aaron. Please do us a favor. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow if you're enjoying the show. It helps us out tremendously. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the Daily Wager podcast.